Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Bullpen. My name is Les Vogler. It's been a while since we talked to you all. Got a few updates since the last time we talked. At Nebraska Bowl Service, we are expanding out there at Nebraska Bowl Service. We are adding on some additional bowl barns, so our capacity will be up just to under probably about 150 to 175 bowls. It's been a really great first half of the year so far, even with all the COVID stuff going on throughout the country. It seems like in our sector, the progressive breeders have really stepped forward, and it's actually been our busiest year to date, and really appreciate all the customers out there going. So I would suggest if you have any bulls wanting to come in, get them scheduled, because I know it seems like every day I got three or four more people calling. So we are going to be full come fall. There's no doubt. So any of the local guys out there, please call and get on the list so we get you in. Also, something else going on out in Nebraska Bowl Service. It will be October 2nd and 3rd. The night of October 2nd, the Nebraska Angus Tour starts off, and they're going to start in McCook at the Copper Mill. And Dr. Chantel Cruz, which is with Bovatech, and she is in charge of our IVF division at Nebraska Bowl Service and Vogler SEMA Center. She is going to be speaking at the Copper Mill. And then October 3rd, 7:30 in the morning at Nebraska Bowl Service, we are sponsoring a breakfast for everybody, expecting about 150 or 200. Check with the Nebraska Angus Association, get signed up for that. We're going to be giving tours, and it's going to be a breakfast. And my mom's going to be cooking, and all the gals out there, so you... It's going to be a good, hearty, you know, country type breakfast for everybody, and love to have you all come out and check out the facilities and go on their tour. Back here in the eastern part of the state, Vogler SEMA Center, where we are actually moving the IVF, the in vitro part, back to Ashland, just because of the space we needed out in McCook to handle all the bulls. So we are currently under construction, building a new IVF facility at our Ashland location, and redoing some of the other bull barns there too. So, and then quick update on Vogler cattle. We just started weaning the calves this week, getting ready for, you know, it'll be here sooner than you think. Our sale, the end of November, the first Saturday after Thanksgiving. So kind of keep checking our websites, NebraskaBullService.com, VoglerSemenCenter.com, and VoglerCattle.com. And today I got really two special guests in here with me, and we're not going to talk about cattle or any farm and stuff like that. But what we're going to talk about is some of the stuff going on socially in our world right now today. And I think if any of you are still watching the news, because it's so damn depressing, all you kind of hear is one side of the story. Well, today in studio with me, I have two wonderful ladies. And I'll let them introduce herself, but just a quick background. One is a wife of an officer, and she is in the school education system. And the other outstanding lady is actually an officer that is on the front lines. So I'm going to let them introduce, and we're just going to kind of talk about their perspectives and their views and what's kind of been happening in their lives over the last two or three months. So I'll start with you.
Hi, I'm Jen, and I am the wife of a police officer in the local area, and I'm also, like Les said, in the education system, and just have really different perspectives from what the news media has kind of put out with all of the rioting and protesting going on, and so it's going to be a wonderful opportunity kind of to share what we have been going through as a blue family through the last few weeks.
Exactly.
And I'm Amber Kennedy. I'm a detective with a neighboring city to Omaha. I've been an officer. This will be 12th year in September.
Wow, you've been that long.
Yeah, that long. It doesn't seem like it.
No.
And I've been a detective. This is my 7th year. I specialize in investigating sex crimes, child abuse crimes, child pornography, mm-hmm. and missing persons, and anything that deals with children
right.
or online enticement is my specialty. I am also part of the SWAT team. I'm the first and only female that's ever made the SWAT team for
really?
Our department. Yeah. And
awesome.
I've been on the SWAT team for about 8 to 9 years mm-hmm. now.
So. Yeah. And you do also on the side, what is your, I know you got a passion for a certain hobby. I don't know if you call it a hobby, but what, tell us just a little bit about that, Amber.
I coach CrossFit. Yeah. I've been a competitor for several years. Now I'm kind of taking a little bit of step back and just coaching and teaching mm-hmm. people okay. on the importance of not just being physically healthy, but mentally healthy
right.
too. Finding other ways to help, especially officers, how to deal with life stress, stress on duty, and avoiding going to the bottle to mm-hmm. help with stress or going to food to
right.
help with stress
yeah.
and finding other ways. And our right. department actually is just now implementing peer support group.
Maybe I need to sit down and talk to you.
Yeah, you certainly can. Get some steak and let's do it.
So, I mean, whoever wants to start, just tell us a little bit. I mean, Jen, I mean, the perspective, I mean, how has life been for you and your husband and your family the last 2 or 3 months, whatever it's been?
Well, I guess I would start by saying, you know, when all of this kind of hit the fan, you know, it was a big wake-up call. My husband hasn't been in a cruiser for years. He's at a different location, and so he hasn't been kind of on that frontline part for quite a while. And so getting thrown back into this frontline duty was a wake-up call, not, you know, for our entire family. So he was called in to, you know, bring his riot gear and go out that night. And we hadn't seen that come out for quite a while.
Right.
So it was a little scary, not only for myself, but for
right.
my kids.
Yeah, for your family.
You know, so we just, the unknown was the worst part about it
right.
all. We didn't know what he was walking into. We didn't know what to expect. And so then you see media come on TV and show you all of this horrible, horrible things that were going on.
Right.
And knowing he was right smack in the middle of that.
He was front line.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, the media liked to portray the worst of things.
Right, exactly.
And because that's what gets everybody hyped up, right?
Yep.
And so being able to have an opportunity to share, like, these officers, just because one officer made a horrible, horrible mm-hmm. choice, does not make that a blanket statement for all officers.
Right, exactly.
And I think that was the most frustrating part for not only myself, but my husband and my family and everybody else, is it was making all of our officers seem like they were criminals.
If you watch certain parts of the media, it was like they were all.
Yeah.
I mean, but and I know the majority of the people listening to this, we all, I mean, we definitely stand behind the blue and support the officers. We get it, but
right.
I think there's other people out there that don't.
Absolutely.
You know, a certain segment that just, no matter what you do.
Right, right. So. And, you know, the media portrayed all the protesters as being in the right.
Yeah.
And for some of them, they were doing it the right way.
Right.
The people who had the good intentions were doing it the right way. But then you had people piggyback off of that, that were making this a platform for them to destroy things and ruin our city and make things a completely different platform. And I think that was the most frustrating part for all of the officers, that they were in support of people protesting. That is your God-given right.
Right, yeah.
But when you start to destroy a city mm-hmm. and hurt people, that's when you, you know,
it all turns a different direction.
Yeah.
Amber, were you involved in any of the
there was a threat that protesting was going to happen in our city, that they were going to take over parts of our city. And like I said, we're neighboring to Omaha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we you know, we had our react, our entire department was called out on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And you know, our department is nowhere near the size of Omaha,
right.
but every single one of us was there, even ones that were on light duty due to injuries. They were there, doing the best that they could to support. And I mean, I was part of the SWAT team, so we were sitting out waiting. Over in our city, we saw a completely different side of people.
Mm-hmm.
There, the community came out and supported us.
Supported the officers.
We had civilians that, and whether people agree with it or don't, there was armed civilians out there protecting the courthouse. The rumor is, and I don't know how true it is, but I can tell you there was a bunch of bikers.
Yeah.
In a certain block where these protesters were supposed to take over. And it's alleged that it was motorcycle gang
right.
that was down there protecting it. Whether it was or not, I don't know, but they were down there protecting. Civilians came out and supported. I can't tell you how many people over the 2 days that we were posted out that came by with food. We had Hy-Vee that donated food. A Chinese restaurant that's right by our station purchased a huge pallet of water and it was shipped over to us. The city, our city, supports, for the vast majority of them, supports us over there.
Right.
And even within, still right now, people constantly come and are donating food and drinks
amazing.
To us.
Yeah. Did Eric notice any of the same thing here?
Yes, absolutely. There were many, many organizations that donated bottles of water, bottles of Gatorade, you know, Powerade, all of those kinds of things. So they had plenty of hydration. They had plenty of food. We have a support Blue Family, which is like a support group for family members of police officers here in Omaha. And we got together one morning and made 500 or 600 sandwiches to take down. You know, different restaurants brought in food for the guys
awesome.
And the ladies. Yeah. And it was one of those things where even in the midst of all this darkness, there was
good people.
There are good people.
Did any, tell me if I'm wrong. Did any of that make any of the local news?
No,
it was not until Chief Schmatter got on the news.
They did
one of the
a small
press conferences.
And they probably got pushed to the back and it wasn't. There's a certain station here in Omaha, and I don't mind to call them out, but they seem to want to have an editorial at the end of their newscast.
Correct.
To me, they're there to give the news, not to give us their opinion.
Right.
And I'll be quite honest. That station is off.
Yep.
Well, I don't watch the news anymore.
No.
I don't. I've really cut out social media to a very minimum, but the news I have noticed has really skewed the views of people. They're feeding with the hot topics.
Yep.
And the point there is, tell me the last time you heard of an officer killed in the line of duty that made national news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. During this whole thing, there was how many, 2 or 3 or 4?
Yeah. There's several. And even before this had happened, the last that I know of besides the Dallas Five that was ambushed.
Right.
Is Kerry Roscoe. That's the last one. We had a deputy that was killed in our city that made local news,
right.
But that's it.
But
when
make
you
national
have,
news.
You have, and by all means, I do not support what that officer did to George Floyd.
Right.
At
exactly.
All.
I don't know of anybody that does.
And if somebody does, they are morally messed up.
Yeah, exactly.
But the fact that he got all of this publicity and even a folded flag at his funeral.
Yes.
But we have officers we had an officer just last week was pulled over on the side of the road helping a stranded motorist. Somebody rolled up and just shot him. And he's laying on the ground, stood over him, and shot him multiple times. That's not national news.
I didn't even hear about it.
And so. There are instances where officers do make bad decisions and somebody does die, you don't hear about that.
No.
Unless it's race-based.
Right. Exactly. And quite honestly, I mean, from my perspective, you look at the police officers, no matter what state patrols, whatever line, they're out there trying to help people. If they're interacting with somebody in most cases, it's because that person did something wrong.
Right.
You know, so that person, you know, and what is the percentage? I have stats from Lincoln here. Just in Lincoln, Nebraska, there was over 363,000 calls, and the percentages of complaints was 0.0069. Mm-hmm. So think about that. But it's that, those are the ones that hear about it. There's so many good things, and I did a little bit of research, so many good organizations that the officers do to help kids and help other communities, but it doesn't get publicized.
Well, and like with Carrie Roscoe, it was never publicized on the amazing work that she did, that she helped with the Special Olympics. She helped with the kids in the baseball field. Yep. No one knew anything about that until after she died. There are so many officers across the world that are part of organizations that donate so much time and money to help the community, and you don't know about
it. They're there to help. They're, you know, and you got to, what it was, I mean, right now, I mean, from both your perspectives, what is the morale of the police officers? I mean, do they get up and say, boy, I'm glad to go to work today, or is it like crap?
We're beat down.
Yeah.
And not only are we beat down because of, I mean, like I said, our community where I work has been super supportive, but overall we're beat down, and the hiring, people applying to be a police officer has been low.
Yeah.
And now it's the all time low. Who wants to be a police officer right now? Yep. I sure as hell wouldn't.
No.
If I was looking at a career.
If you weren't already there and you obviously love what you do, and it's a passion.
I do.
Yeah. So, and how about your perspective, Jen?
You know, I think the officers have kind of rallied around themselves and have really kept each other.
Kind of circled the wagons and protecting each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the support groups around the Omaha metro area, you know, who do support police officers have really stepped up to make sure that they know that they're supported.
Awesome.
I think Chief Schmatter said it best at that one last press conference, kind of at the end of all of this, where he asked the media, he said, you've asked all these questions, but not one of you have asked how we're holding up.
Exactly.
How all of our officers
loved
are holding
that.
Up.
Yeah.
And that was like the moment where I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, this is what needed to be said.
Right.
This is what needed to be said a week ago when these guys were getting bottles of urine thrown on them and bottles of gasoline thrown at them and rocks thrown at them and all of those things.
Right.
That's what needed to be said that night.
Right.
Exactly. Is what are we going to do to support these guys?
Yeah.
Because they're not out there, you know, doing anything wrong now.
No.
They're out there trying to help protect our city.
Exactly.
But yet they're getting, you know, crap thrown with them and, you know, all of this negative attention. Mm-hmm. So I think he said it best was, when are you going to ask about them? When are we going to turn this around and say, how are they holding up? Because they've been working hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, they've had to put in a ton of overtime.
15-hour shifts
and very stressful. I mean, it's not normal times we're living in right now. And when you talked about that, I had another guest invited that wanted to come on. And he's an acquaintance of mine. And we snap back and forth, you know. I have my opinion. He has his, and that's fine. But he was at the protest, and the second night of the protest here in Omaha, he put out something on social media, said he's never been prouder. His wife and his daughter were tased, or not tased, but pepper sprayed and whatever, and he said he couldn't be prouder of them. And I'm like, seriously, dude. So, and I said, what caused it? He goes, well, the officers started. I said, I doubt it. I said, I doubt it. I said, you don't leave. If the protest is coming, you can peacefully protest. But if it's a peaceful protest, why are all the businesses boarding up their windows and taking all? And this is when the businesses were just opening back up. And think about that. They had to board their windows and then leave. And there were some businesses that actually had to shut down because of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when he put that out, I'm like, and he said, I'll debate you. I'll come on. So open format. When I came down to it, I said, I got time and date. Nope. I'd probably rather not.
Well, the peaceful protesting, a lot of people, and we were just talking about that before we got started, about how people are like, oh, they were peaceful. They were peaceful. And why are the officers throwing gas and this and that and the other? Okay. If you're blocking a roadway, it is illegal to do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. It's illegal.
The 72nd and Dodge is the perfect example. Where does 72nd lead to? Children's Hospital. Mm-hmm. That is an emergency hospital that even in my city, if we have a child that to. Our hospitals mm-hmm. are not equipped to take care of, they transport them lights and sirens down 72nd. Yep. If it is blocked, how are families supposed to get there?
Exactly. And
if you haven't done traffic control at intersections and you have to shut down certain roads and people, this is the only way I know to get there. Yep. This is the only way I know to get to Walmart. This is the only way I know to get to the casino. You have families that are in emergencies because sometimes families will grab their kids and drive themselves to the hospital.
I don't have the patience to wait. The only way to get there
you know of is 72nd, and you have all these people sitting in the middle of the road, and you have a child in your car that's unresponsive.
That's right.
What the hell are you supposed to do?
So when we tell you,
move.
You better move.
You need to move. Go stand on the sidewalks. In our city, you can get a permit to protest peacefully on the sidewalks. You don't get a permit to protest, you are committing a crime.
Yep.
If you are refusing to move out of a roadway, especially a busy intersection where that interferes with traffic, somebody can get ran over because, like I said, emergencies, if I need to get to the hospital because my child is not breathing, you better move.
Yeah.
If you are not moving, then we will have to do what we can to get you to move. So it's not peaceful. When you are set out in your ways to not abide by the law, and abide by what the officers are saying, what are we supposed to do?
Exactly.
Okay, you want it to be like how Atlanta?
Our officers walked out. Yeah.
Dispatch walked out.
Chaz or Chop or whatever the hell they called it.
So and then they tore that
work out.
Yeah, exactly. They went in and tore it down because then the governor's like, oh, wait, this wasn't a good idea
after all.
Summer
of love wasn't quite so lovely, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, everyone has the right to say what they believe.
Exactly.
That's great.
Yep.
But you don't have the right to destroy our city.
No. It's personal property. And I know there are some groups that want to take personal property away, but that's the fact is somebody owns that. It's personal property.
Yep. And just like Amber said, people got in these positions because of a choice they made.
Right.
You don't get arrested. You don't get tased, you don't get pepper sprayed, you don't get any of these things unless there was a bad choice that you made.
Right.
So what did you do in order for this to happen?
Or maybe you didn't make it personally, but the person next to you, the group you were in, did it.
And the fact, friends.
And the fact that you're proud that your child got maced.
Exactly.
Or
that was like,
or whatever.
That was like, it like totally blew me away. I'm like, seriously.
You're subjecting your child to this.
Right.
And what are you, because then what's going to boil down to is that kid be like, well, I don't trust the police. I'll never call them.
Yep.
And then we're going to, it's just a horrible decision.
Yeah.
I'm all for going out and demonstrating and expressing rights for anybody, everybody.
Yep.
But there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it.
That's right. That's the way society needs to be. So in my opinion, you know, but unfortunately, I mean, we'll see what happens in the next, I mean, it's going to be an interesting next 2 or 3, 4 months, face it. It's just the way it's going to be. So, but moving forward, I mean, how long has your husband been in
office? Well, let's see. We're going 21 years right now.
21 years.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
So.
Been a blue family for a very long time. And when you're a blue family, your entire family is a blue family, even your extended family.
Yep.
And so he knows he's got a ton of support on his side.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know we're not blood related, but we're related a little bit.
We're related down the line.
We're related down the line. Yeah. So Amber, what about you? I mean, you're going to keep on being SWAT member and doing what you're doing. I know sometime I'd like to get you in about the other subject that you talked about.
Yeah.
Because I think that's, even in the ag community, is something, especially between, in Nebraska, between Grand Island and Kearney and North Platte, there's a huge sex trafficking thing. So maybe that'd be for another discussion, but some other time. But thanks, ladies. I really appreciate you coming in and giving your point of views. And, you know, speaking for myself personally, you know, thank your families very much, and you personally very much, for protecting us and doing what you do. I know it's got to be extremely hard and extremely stressful for you, for, you know, to watch your husband leave and your kids leave, and you've got a young daughter and a husband, and it's got to be extremely hard on them.
It
you
is.
Know, when yeah. you go out. So.
Well, and it's hard to explain to my daughter who's six.
Yeah.
Why people hate the police.
Right.
And then she sees so many people hating, and then I have to explain to her to not hate them. You know what I mean? Yeah. To explain to her to don't hate them. They are misinformed, or they're jumping on the bandwagon. Right. And when the George Floyd incident happened, of course, she asked, she's like, why would that officer do that? Yeah. How? And I'm like, because he's not a good officer.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. Yeah. So explaining to her, unfortunately, people don't like us, but yeah. we're still here to protect, mm-hmm. and right. you need to trust the officers exactly. that they'll come and protect you.
Exactly. Okay. Well, thanks, ladies. Thanks. Once again, thanks, everybody, for joining the bullpen. And check us out at NebraskaBullService.com, VogerSiemensCenter.com, and VogerCattle.com.
A Parkville Media Production.